Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, a diplomatic official of the highest rank, sent by one sovereign of state to another as its resident representative, an authorized messenger or representative. That's what an ambassador is. You may be seated. I've mentioned several times when I was in Costa Rica preaching many years ago, Costa Rica is just a beautiful place, a place that I could live. I love Costa Rica. And a great climate, great people, it's just a beautiful place. But there's not much zoning in Costa Rica. You'll have a house you wouldn't want to live in right next to a very nice home. As we were driving down, suddenly we came into this beautiful mansion and had a fence several acres around it. And I said to the tax collector, I said, whose house is that? He said, the ambassador from the United States. It made me proud to be an American. I was glad our ambassador wasn't living in a shack to the side of the road. And friend, when you become an ambassador for Christ, every aspect of your life either becomes a testimony for or a testimony against the Christ that you serve. And you have to remember that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. He walked this earth representing the Father. And by the time Christ had ended his 3.5-year ministry and his 33.5-year life, the image of God the Father was totally different. Suddenly we see God as a loving God and not a judgmental God. The image was totally changed by Jesus Christ. He is the image of Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. As Christ was the image of God, we are to be the image of the invisible Christ. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We are to be the epistle of the enticing story of Christ to a Christless world. People do not know God. I remember when we finished this building, we were about to have our first service, and a man that I deal with that knows nothing about God, he's a man that I do business with, he's not interested in God, doesn't want to hear about God, doesn't know anything about God. He said, preacher, you moving into that church? I said, Sunday. He said, well, you better get your hottest hellfire sermon ready for that big building. That's his image of God. And so our job, our responsibility as ambassadors of Christ is to show what Jesus Christ is really like. Most people will never read the Bible. It would be appalling to you to know how few people in America read the Bible. They don't know the Bible. I know they don't know the Bible because they are always telling me what's in there and it's not in there. Doesn't it say in the Bible? No, it doesn't say that. But they think it does because they never read the Bible. And so most people will never read the Bible, but every day people are reading your life. And the chances that they are going to be saved are not going to be because of what's in the Bible, but because of what's in you. And if they read your story, and your story is dramatically different than theirs, and they envy your life, there is just a chance that they will come to your Christ, that they will follow you as you follow Christ. It is our calling, it is our responsibility to represent Christ in a way that compels people to come to Christ. To misrepresent Jesus Christ is one of the most serious sins a Christian can do. There's lots of sins. We all have sinned. The Bible teaches that. The man that says he's not sinned is a liar, the Bible said. But one of the most serious sins that we can commit is to misrepresent Christ. because you stand between somebody and eternity. What they will know about God will be the reflection of your Christ through you. After David committed tremendous sins, David, the man after God's own heart, had some really bad patches in his life. He was responsible for murder. He was an adulterer. And yet, when God spoke to him to chastise him for his chosen lifestyle, he didn't talk about the adultery and he didn't talk about the murder. This is what God said. Thou hast given great occasion of the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme. He said, what I have against you, David, is people that would have looked at you because you are a big professor of your relationship with Jehovah. But people are going to look at you and they're going to discount your relationship because of your action, and they'll never come to God. And so my greatest accusation against you, David, you have given a great occasion of the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme. Remember this. When you say you are a Christian, you have a responsibility to represent Christ from that moment forward, because there are people watching you, and their destination eternally, heaven or hell, is going to be decided by how you represent or misrepresent Christ. It's not just a misrepresentation of Christ. It's Jesus Christ and his entire kingdom. You represent the kingdom of God. You know, there's something about America, and America gets lots of bad publicity on the news all the time. But still, we have to guard our borders because people are trying to crash through to come to America, no matter what the news media says about how bad America is. The reason being is they see what we do and how the lifestyle we live, and from their country, they say, I'd like to have that lifestyle. And the poorest people in America are better off than the majority of the people in this world. And so that's the representation of America, the reason why people come to America and attempt to come to America, because of our lifestyle. And so our lifestyle is a tremendous testimony for Christ, the way we live our life. But it's not just representing Jesus as a person. You represent his entire kingdom. You represent his God-called messengers. There was a tremendous flood. You've heard of that, and almost everybody in the world perished, but just a few souls. Noah and his family. To escape the flood, those people had to believe in three things. They had to believe in God. They had to believe in the preaching of Noah. And they had to believe in the integrity of the ark. They had never seen a boat before. They had to believe that would float. They had to believe the man was preaching was a man that had a true message, and they had to believe in God. So there's a lot of people say, oh, I love the Lord. I don't go to church, and I don't like Christians, but oh, I love the Lord. That is absolutely a self-deceptive lie. Because if you love the Lord, you will love the preaching of the gospel. You will love the integrity of the kingdom of God. There is no way to know how many children of church-going people are lost, just as David's son was lost. When David committed that adultery and that little baby was born, that baby died. And just as David's son was lost, many church-going people's children are lost because of their failed ambassadorship and the way they misrepresented Christ, his church, and his people. One thing about my father literally adored his preachers. I used to hear the music in our home. He would play Christian music in our home over and over, and I get so tired as a boy hearing those same songs. But he revered those people that were leaders, and it did something to me. I have a friend that I helped get a church started. The church was kind of unique, and they called me, and they said, would you come here and start a church for us? And I was already starting this church, several years into it. And I said, no, I can't do that. And it was friends of mine, and there were seven of them, and all seven of them were millionaires, and they were going to start a church. They were all lay people, business people. They didn't want to be preachers, but they wanted a preacher. And I said, well, I'm very tempted because all that money was available. But I said, God hasn't called me, but I'll help you get somebody. So I helped them get somebody. They started a church, and that church flourished greatly for several years, very quickly, because of all the money that was poured into it and the advertising and whatever. But one of these millionaires had a wife that was a little different. I knew these people very well. She was a little different. And so this young pastor that I'd put in there called me, and he said, "You know so-and-so?" I said, "Yeah." Said, "He and his wife are having trouble. I counseled with him today." And said, "He told me how terrible his wife is." And I said, "And you said what?" He said, "Oh, I agreed with him." I said, "Oh, you made a mistake." I said, "You just lost that wonderful family." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You can't believe how he hates her." I said, "Just today. Tomorrow he will love her again. That's his wife. And you said things about her." He called me within 2 weeks, and that family had come to him and said, "We can't, because I know what you think of my wife." Well, he was the one that said it. But he misrepresented his wife, and somebody agreed with him. Do you understand that the church is not ours? The church is somebody else's wife. It's Jesus' wife. And there is a law of civilization, of culture. You don't criticize somebody else's wife. And we have no business criticizing the church, because it is the bride of Christ, so much that he loved it and gave his life for it. And the church, with all of its warts, with all of its problems, the church is what it is, and I am saved because of the church. You can't believe how pitiful the little church that I went to as a boy was. We didn't have but about 30 people, and it had been going for years. It just wasn't good. And the little building wasn't much, and Daddy had moved to that town, and that was the only Spirit-filled church we could find, and I was the only young person in the church. We didn't have any other, just me. And the pastor, he was a sweet guy, but he was really just not qualified to pastor. And he would come to church, and he had a rule that we couldn't start without him. And he would show up an hour late. We'd just sit there an hour and wait on him. He'd come moseying in and start the service. And that's the kind of church we had in. But you know what happened to me as a 13-year-old boy in that pitiful little church? I got baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. No matter what you think about the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was not as beautiful as it could have been from the outside. But when you got in, God would take care of your sins. And we have to realize that we are ambassadors for the church. We have to hold our tongue. We cannot be talking about what is wrong with the church. We have to preach the gospel and tell people what's right about the church, how it saved us. And Jesus Christ is saying, not only love me, but you've got to love my people. The Bible said, how can you love God whom you have not seen when you don't love the people you have seen? Friend, I love God's people. I love to come to God's house. I love to come to God's house when there is absolutely no problems in this world and people are just so happy to be here. I love to come to God's house today when the lights aren't working properly, when people are still hiding behind closed doors because of fear, because the church in California says strip clubs are essential and they're open, but churches are closed down. I still love the church of the living God. Thank God for the Supreme Court deciding that New York cannot close the churches down. It's a time where I say I thank God for the church, and we need to support the church. Jesus said in John 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." He's talking about the sheepfold. The church is the sheepfold. And Jesus is saying, if you don't come by the sheepfold and you say you're going to have a relationship with God, he said, you're a thief and a robber. You have deceived yourself. Friend, if you don't love God's church, you wouldn't even enjoy heaven. Because heaven is simply going to be the church on steroids. It's going to be much like what we do here. It's going to be a whole lot of worship, a whole lot of singing, a whole lot of fellowship. And so people that say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church, they are deceiving themselves. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what the church of the living God is to be. We are either a stumbling block, or we are a bridge to the kingdom of God. You have to decide which one you're going to be. So many people will be critical. So many people will be negative. And then they come right in and sing and rejoice, not realizing that what they said and what they did was somebody's downfall. And they will not ever know that until God reveals that to him. If we're a stumbling block, either in conversation or lifestyle, to those that are seeking Jesus and his kingdom, the punishment is great. Jesus said in Matthew 18:6, "For whoso shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." That's not just talking about children. That's talking about people that do not know the kingdom of God. What the Bible calls the people that occupy the room of the unlearned. They don't know about the things of God. But if we are offensive to them, and if we say anything or do anything that would keep them from becoming a part of the church. I remember when we were building this church, and we were still in the old building, there was a fantastic woman that came. She was a businesswoman here in San Antonio, and I knew her. She absolutely had no church background, a wonderful lady, but just never, her family were not church people. And she came, of all time, she came on a Wednesday night, and she was astounded by what she saw, by what she felt, and by what she heard. And within just a matter of a few services, this woman was totally committed. She had repented of her sins. She had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus in water. She had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And she did not miss one service for several months. And then she ceased to be. I called her. I knew her. I would go to her place of business. She owned a wonderful restaurant downtown. And I went down to see her, and she was such a wonderful. She said, "Oh, I can't come back." I said, "You're not coming back?" She said, "No, I thought I'd found what I was looking for." But she said, "You know so-and-so." And she called the name of a godless man that was working on this building. He was a contractor, a subcontractor on this building. And she knew him and said, "He told me that the church was just a front. It's all a scam." And I sat with her for an hour and tried to diffuse all of that poison that he had put in her. But she had known him for 20 years, and I couldn't do it. She didn't just leave this church. She left all churches. She never went back to a church because of that one man. That man never thought about it again. Probably will never think about it to eternity. But I think about this woman on a regular basis because she lives alone. Her husband is dead. Her children are gone. And she has no life at all. She could be a vital part of the community of God and on her way to heaven. But somebody diffused the gospel. And somehow she lost out because we were not able to be the ambassadors that Christ wants us to be. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious business. It's heaven or hell. And the Bible talks about in Ezekiel chapter 34, "Seemeth it a small thing unto you that have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down your feet the residue of your pastures, and you have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet." And then Jesus would go on to say, "Woe unto you, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You enter not in yourself, and them that were entering in ye hindered." Friend, it is a faith is a fearful thing when we hinder somebody, when we discourage somebody. You know, sometimes I'll see somebody that I know, and they'll say, "Oh, I'm going to such and such a church." And when they tell me the church, I know something that's not good about the pastor. Never in my life have I ever said, "Oh, let me tell you about your pastor's problems. Let me tell you about his two or three marriages. Let me tell you about this or that." I simply encourage them to keep going to the kingdom of God. Why? For the Apostle Paul said, "I rejoice that the gospel is preached, even if it is preached in offense, or even if it is preached in superstition, or even if it is preached in hypocrisy." He said, because the gospel is the answer to men's lost souls. So I encourage people. Many years ago, when we were first in this church for a couple of years, probably, there was a wonderful couple that came to this church, and they became very close to Becky and I. Again, they had no church background, but they had an amazing experience with the Lord. And they were so vitally involved in the church. And she's in a great church today. But this lady was an outstanding young lady. But she was just in the church for a few months. And she was going down the road. And she had on blue jeans. And so she was dressed for it. But she saw a woman in a dress standing beside a car dressed in a dress. And the car had a flat tire. So she pulled over and said, "I know how to change a tire. Can I change your tire, ma'am?" She said, "Oh, yes, please do. I don't know how to change the tire." So she was changing her tire. And the woman said, "I am a pastor's wife. We pastor such and such." And this new convert said, "Oh, that's wonderful." She said, "I'm a new Christian. I just got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit a few months ago." And she said, "I really love the Lord." And she said, "Where do you go to church?" And she said, "I go to Living Way, Steve Fender's church." And the woman said, "I'd rather see you in hell than go to that church." I was able to save that young lady, but she was injured for weeks to think that a person in the church would say that. Friend, we have to realize that our words have real consequences. When somebody tells you they go to Cornerstone Church, it's up to you to brag on Pastor Heggie. It's up to you to talk about the great ministry of Cornerstone Church. And not just that church, but dozens and dozens of churches across this city. Now, if you know somebody going to a church that does not preach the gospel, you need to bring them to the house of God where they can hear the true gospel. But you don't do that by propagating criticism and gossip and hurt. You love that person and you add up on whatever experience they have. Friend, this is life and death. This is heaven and this is hell. The Bible said, Peter said, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband. And if any obey not the word," this is amazing. "If any obey not the word," this is talking about women with unsaved husbands. "If any obey not the word," in other words, the Bible has not become clear to them and they don't understand truth. "They also may, without the word," without the Bible, without the word, "be won by the conversation of their wives." Your conversation can save somebody. Not the fact that you are simply a quoter of Scripture, but that your conversation is so uplifting and edifying and encouraging. Friend, we are ambassadors of Christ. When they see us, we are the only Christ that they will see until they see Him in the judgment. One of the most dramatic illustrations of the proper ambassadorship of the Bible is found in the Old Testament. It's the story of Solomon. It is the story of a man that was blessed by the Lord tremendously. The Bible said that Solomon was very, very blessed. It said that even Solomon in all of his glory, that's the way Jesus described him, Solomon in all of his glory. The Bible said that Solomon was the wisest man in 1 Kings 4:30. He was the wisest of all men. The Bible said that he was famous. The Bible said he was most wealthy. The Bible said, "So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom." And the Bible says that when this woman heard, the Queen of Sheba, she heard about Solomon. There's something that's missed sometimes. But the Bible said that after all that she had heard about his wealth, and after all that she had heard about his wisdom, and all that she had heard about the kingdom, that she went to him in 1 Kings 10:1 because of the Lord. She had heard about his relationship with the Lord. And friend, you might be very successful in your business. You might be very successful in your job. You might have tremendous abilities of which people admire. But the number one thing that people should know about you is that you have a relationship with the Lord. So it's all right to have wealth and fame, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Bible said, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord," that was the number one thing about him. When he talked about his wealth, when he talked about his success, he said, "It's because the Lord gave it to me. Because the Lord asked me what I wanted, and I said I wanted understanding. And God said, I'm going to give you understanding, but I'm going to give you fame, and I'm going to give you wealth, and I'm going to give you power." And so because of that, the Queen of Sheba came, and she became a convert to Jehovah. But when she came and she saw the kingdom of God, she said this. She said, I see his wealth. I see all of his power. But what I see most of all are happy are the people. The servants are happy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you the number one soul-winning tool of the Church of the Living God is your happiness. If you're not happy, nobody wants what you're selling. If you're not joyful, nobody wants what you are offering. Friend, we must be a happy people. Paul said, I think myself happy. Somebody asked me, some Pentecostal preacher asked me, said, how is your church different than our churches? I said, well, I used to be more like you, but we went from crazy to happy. Crazy is not all right, but happy is wonderful. I had a woman want to come to this church, and she said, Pastor Steve, she said, will I be welcome? I said, you will. She said, now let me tell you. She said, I don't worship much. She said, I just sat there. She's a Pentecostal. But she said, every once in a while, she said, I just go crazy. I said, what do you mean by that? She said, I scream and I holler and I shout and I roll on the floor. I said, we don't do crazy very well. We do happy a whole lot better. Friend, when you come to God's house and when you leave God's house, your attitude ought to be, I am happy. He said, rejoice not because the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice because of your relationship. Your name is written down. And friend, if you want to be a soul winner, if you want to win your family, if you really want to be an ambassador for Christ, you will develop the ability to be happy in good times and in bad, in pandemics, and when people are healthy, you'll still be happy. People are looking for happy. Everybody wants to be happy, and there should be nobody happier than the people of God, the people that know that they're blessed coming in and going out, but more than that, that their future is forever settled, whether they live or whether they die. Somebody wrote during the pandemic, I saw it online, they said, I rejoice because Jesus is with me, and if the pandemic comes with for me, I'll be with him. Either way, I make it. That's a happy attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I would adjure you. If you want to win your family to the Lord, if you want your children to go to heaven, if you want your coworkers to be won to Christ, develop the ability to be happy, to manifest joy, no matter what's going on. To hold your peace about negativity. You can't criticize your people in the church, expect people to come with you. You can't criticize the kingdom of God and expect people to be one to the Lord. You've got to be like Solomon. Look what the Lord has done in my life. And friend, I can tell you that the Lord has done great in my life. He has kept me through these years. I'm in the Father's hand. Nobody can pluck me out. Has anybody ever tried? Oh, yeah. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the more you're blessed, the more the devil will hate you. And the more you're blessed, the more enemies you will have. Because there's a lot of sad people out there in this world, and they are not happy that you're happy. But you got to keep on being happy. When they despitefully use you, rejoice in the Lord. Just say, praise God, I'm happy. And I would adjure you that you now turn up the notch of your happiness in this pandemic. Because people are very susceptible to a message that will offer them hope. And there's nobody that has hope like people that are born again, like people are filled with the Spirit of the living God. God is speaking to us right now in this day and time. And he tells us as the end is approaching that we should not be downtrodden. We should not be despondent. We should not be negative. We ought to be a happy people. We ought to be able to say like the Queen of Sheba, the half has not been told. You just don't know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know how good the Lord is. He's better than I can describe. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Friend, these are times when the Church of the Living God needs to rise up and become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We must be ambassadors for Christ, because you're not going to find it in politics. You're not going to find it on the media. You're not going to find it out in the world. There has to be a place. And praise God, I want Living Way Church to be the place. You said, well, so-and-so said so-and-so. Answer that with happiness. So-and-so was critical. Answer that with happiness. So-and-so attacked me. Answer that with happiness. There is nothing that works like success, and there is no success like being happy in times of adversity. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not to be the end time. This is to be the beginning time for somebody that you want to win to Christ. I ask you today, and nobody knows but you, what kind of an ambassador for Christ are you? Are people looking in your life and saying, I want to be just like you. I want to be like her. I want to be like him. I see that he goes through these things, and it doesn't seem like it affects him or her like it does normal people. That is a choice that you make. The greatest thing that you can do is win somebody to Christ. And the way that you win people to Christ is show them your happiness with the kingdom of God. Would you stand on your feet right now and worship the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I had a man call me on the phone, and he eventually came and got saved in this church. I love people's testimony. I got a chance to talk with him at length. And he said, you know why I came to Christ? I said, no, I don't. He said, because so-and-so, and he called a lady's name in this church. He said, I got saved because she went through a divorce. I said, how did that cause you to be saved? Said, I saw how hurt she was by the divorce, but said it never took away her joy. She didn't want the divorce. Her husband was unfaithful to her. Her husband filed for the divorce. And I watched her through these proceedings. And she came out that divorce just as happy. And she never, ever lost her faith in Christ. And he said, that convinced me that her religion was real, that her salvation was authentic. I don't know what you're going through today, but I can tell you this, the devil doesn't want you to go through it. He wants you to die in the middle of it. But if you will just realize that the Lord is with you and nobody can separate you from his love, and if you will sing the Lord's song in a strange land, no matter how tough it is, I can promise you, you will go through it. You will come out the other side. And David said, passing through the valley of Baca, I make it a well. In other words, through my time of temptation, I made it something productive. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, God has not forsaken you. He is still with you. He's still on your side. It's time for you to sing your song. It's time for you to shout your shout, walk your walk, and talk your talk. Because I can promise you, in this pandemic, there's at least one person watching you. And that person is either going to be saved or lost according to what you do. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. I see so many old preachers that when they get old, they just kind of quit. I don't want to quit. I want to be an ambassador for Christ the longest day I live. Can you give God some praise in this house today? I wonder if there's somebody in this room today that you realize the devil is attacking you and you're going through some things and you just like to walk down here and say, Lord, I'm like David. I ask you today to renew the joy of my salvation. Renew the joy of my salvation. That's the key to living for God with longevity. I can speak to longevity. I've been saved 61 years. I can speak to longevity.